It's time for Skin in the Game, and we have your front row seat to the action with marketing expert John Simperman and sports business journalist Tim Oshai.
We've talked a lot of stick and ball sports here on Skin in the Game and arena and stadium development. We have not talked about
rodeo.
That's right.
We are going to have Sean Gleason, commissioner of the Professional Bull Riders.
We just finished three completely sold out performances at Madison Square Garden in the heart of New York City. Weekend before that, we sold out the TD Garden in Boston for 2 days.
And Lindsay Rosser Sumter, the commissioner of Premier Women's Rodeo.
We will fight for equality within the sport and to make sure that the ladies are paid equally across all disciplines. This is the first organization that has 100% been behind the cowgirls to make it better for them.
Coming up next on Skin in the Game, right after this.
Support for BTPM comes from our members and from Holiday Valley. Holiday Valley has winter fun everyone can agree on. Holiday Valley was voted the #4 resort in the East by Ski Magazine readers. Holiday Valley features mountain coaster rides, snow tubing, the Tamarack Club Spa, and of course, skiing and snowboarding. At Holiday Valley, you can just relax too. Winter starts here. More information at holidayvalley.com.
Hey, welcome to a new episode of Skin in the Game. I'm your host, John Simperman, with my co-host,
Tim Oshai, and I am especially excited for this week's episode, John. You know why.
Yeah, this is going to take us down a different trail than we than we have here. You know,
it sure is.
We've talked a lot of stick and ball sports here on Skin in the Game, and we've talked about arena and stadium development on Skin in the Game. We have not talked about
rodeo.
That's right.
Bull riding and rodeo.
Which, by the way, is a big business.
So it's a huge, huge business. Yeah. Huge, huge, huge business.
So who do we have joining us?
And I want to say, by the way, I'm going to answer that. By the way, I'm going to say it right now, though. It is not just a huge business in the West. It is a huge business here. You know, we're sitting here in the Northeast. It's a big, big sport. So, yeah, John, we are going to have Sean Gleason, who's the CEO and commissioner of the PBR, that's the Professional Bull Riders.
Yep.
And Lindsay Rosser Sumter, who's the commissioner of the PWR, that's Professional Women's Rodeo.
That's great. And here you talked about big business, all right? The PBR, Professional Bull Riders, they attract over 1.25 million fans a year, right? That's more than most NHL teams. That's more than most NFL teams.
They fill arenas around the U.S. and around Canada.
Yeah. Here's what's really interesting about their valuation from a business perspective. They were recently purchased by TKO. And for our listeners, TKO also owns the WWE and the UFC. So this is a big sport entertainment conglomerate who purchased the PBR as part of a few other assets for $3.25 billion.
Tells you everything right there, right?
it's a big, big deal.
When we did this interview, John, they had just filled Madison Square Garden.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, imagine, middle of Midtown Manhattan, arguably the most famous arena in the world.
Right, you're bringing in the dirt. You're bringing in, obviously, the horses, but, you know,
the bulls,
converting this facility that's known for, you know, hockey and Billy Joel and basketball to, you know, a rodeo platform. That's super cool.
And it's not surprising that it's popular, but I'll be the first one to say, until we had this discussion and prepared for this discussion, I didn't realize just how big it is everywhere.
Yeah.
I do want to also say, you know, with Lindsay Rosser Sumter, the commissioner of PWR Professional Women's Rodeo, they're doing great work to make the sport available to women, young riders who are you know, still learning the sport, right up to world-class rodeo athletes.
Right.
You know, previously, there wasn't a lot of equity in the sport, available to these women. And now, you know, PBR, yeah, PWR are getting behind it and trying to change that.
That's great. So whether you're a fan of the rodeo or competitive equestrian or not. Please stay tuned to our upcoming interview. Really fascinating discussion. But Tim, before we get to that, I do need to go back to a ball sport, and that being soccer. You know, every time I open up the news, there's some other fallout on the World Cup. And again, this is a major, major economic driver in North America this summer. And, you know, most recently, Boston, Miami, New York have all either shrunk or completely canceled kind of their fan fest for security issues or financial issues. There's been issues on ticket prices, which have been exorbitant. You've brought up, you know, the concerns about travel restrictions. So, you know, it's, you know, this is a generational opportunity to host the World Cup. But boy, there's not a lot of wind right now, you know, at our backs for positive outcomes here.
You know, if you're somebody who cares about soccer, it's disheartening.
Well, first of all, it's too bad that it's become political because, right. You know, when we talk about sport is what should unite us, right? Who you're a fan of or what sport you're a fan of, it's celebrating the competition and bringing people together. So it's really, it's unfortunate, but it's the times we're in where politics are often, you know, too integrated into the sport.
Saw that in the Olympics.
Exactly. So yeah. I don't think we can change that here, but I do think reevaluating the ticket pricing, the last thing that the FIFA wants to see, or any arena or stadium wants to see, is empty seats. So we need to make sure that we're pricing it right and finding way to get people into the buildings, energy accessible for all. So, you know, I mean, security is going to be an issue. Travel restrictions coming to the States, I don't think we here on Skin in the Game can fix that.
I don't think the most powerful people in soccer can fix that.
Right. So I'm going to remain optimistic, which is usually, you know, what I try to do, and that based upon some of the bumps in the road and some of the fan reaction, you know, to pricing and to accommodations is going to be fixed, and we will be able to celebrate, you know, the beautiful game this summer.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, and if, you know, you always look for what's the key problem to solve and what's the solvable problem, right? And yeah, if you can get those ticket prices under control, make it a little bit more accessible to more people, get more people in the buildings, then soccer is going to do, John, what you were saying about sports. It will start to at least bring people together. No, the world's coming here to the United States.
Yeah, so let's welcome
them.
Let's
not make it too hard.
Yeah, let's welcome them. Let's drive some revenue in these in these communities that are hosting them. And again, bring people together and you know, and celebrate what is truly a, you know, a generational opportunity to host those games.
You ready for some rodeo?
Let's do it.
All right, so stay with us here on Skin in the Game. We've got Sean Gleason, the CEO and commissioner of PBR, Professional Bull Riders, and Lindsay Rosser Sumter, the commissioner of PWR, that's Professional Women's Rodeo, and that's next on Skin in the Game.
Support for BTPM comes from our members and from Holiday Valley. Whether it's a beginner's or Black Diamond Trail, Holiday Valley features skiing and terrain at every level. There's also a team of snow sports instructors available to sharpen your skills and build your confidence. Holiday Valley was voted the number 4 resort in the East by Ski Magazine readers. Winter starts here. More information at holidayvalley.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Skin in the Game. I'm sitting here in the studio. John, where are you at right now?
You know, I'm in beautiful Denver. I thought, you know, as we're going to learn, our friends from Professional Bull Riders as well as the Professional Women's Riders spend a lot of time out in Denver. So I figured I'd come out and host the episode from this neck of the woods.
I love it. I was going to say you're in an incredibly appropriate place. But I think as we're going to learn, here over here in the East is also a great place too. So I want to welcome Sean Gleason, commissioner of the Professional Bull Riders, and Lindsay Rosser Sumter, the commissioner of Premier Women's Rodeo. Sean, Lindsay, thanks so much for joining us.
Glad to be on.
Yes, thank you so much for having us. We appreciate to be able to share our story with your audience.
You've got it. We're gonna dig deep into it. Western sports right now are having a moment. I tease that moment by saying, yeah, John's in Colorado. I'm sitting here in New York. And, you know, people might think, you know, if we're talking rodeo, that's, you know, the Southwest, it's it may not be an East Coast or an Eastern thing, but tell us about this moment in Western sports. Like, what is the state of rodeo? Where are things at?
Well, it's a pretty good timing that you brought that up, because we just finished 3 completely sold out performances at Madison Square Garden in the heart of New York City this past Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And weekend before that, we sold out the TD Garden in Boston for 2 days. So got a lot of East Coast fans, a lot of East Coast activity with the professional bull riders.
Yeah. Hey, Sean, Lindsay, let me ask you this. It just kind of came to mind is how much of this wave, and maybe the wave started years ago, but how much of this wave, is there anything you can attribute to kind of the popularity of Yellowstone and Landman and some of these great programs that are, you know, are doing big numbers in viewership? Any correlation?
I get asked that question a lot. My first reaction is I'm a little PO'd by it, because PBR has been bringing, Western sports and the cowboy hat to mainstream markets across the U.S. This is our 19th year at Madison Square Garden. Wow. So long before Yellowstone, we've been really breaking barriers and bringing cowboys and Western sports to the East Coast, all across the U.S. But the Yellowstone effect is real. It cracked through to a yet even newer audience of people that aren't that familiar with Western sports. And it certainly has had a positive impact on our business. But we like to say we were part of that trend, not getting the benefit from it.
I would go a step further. Maybe it was Yellowstone was drafting off of you guys the last 19 years.
Well, they did buy a sponsorship from us the first 2 years of the series, and it happened to be their biggest markets where we went and promoted them. So I'm not going to take any credit for it, but we did, it's a very symbiotic relationship. We've got a lot to get to benefit on both sides from exposing the cowboy and the Western lifestyle to more people.
And when you think about, really, all of us are just a few generations removed from the agriculture industry. All of our families used to have to grow and produce their own food. And so really just bringing that kind of full circle back to what our industry is all about. And that is Western heritage, America, God, freedoms, all of those things. And I think it's just celebrating everything that's happening right now in our culture.
We were having you on today mainly to talk about PBR's commitment to women's rodeo. Sean and Lindsay, when I reached out to your teams and asked you to come on, that was a bit of news that really, really caught my attention. So let's get into it. Why are the professional bull riders making a commitment to women's rodeo, and what is that going to look like?
Well, PBR has been fortunate. I mean, arguably we're the 600-pound gorilla in the Western space, with the brand and business that we built. We're owned by TKO, so our sister companies are UFC and WWE, and we're constantly looking for new ways to expand our product offering. But on a personal level, I've been around the sport of rodeo my entire life, been with the PBR for 26 years, and have had a front row seat to our success bringing bull riding to mainstream America. And I felt like the women that compete in the sport of rodeo were very underserved, not getting their due, not getting enough money at the professional level for what they do. And so it was both a labor of love and a labor of opportunity for our business.
When you're out on the road now, touring with PBR, is PWR kind of a bookend event, or are these two separate tours and different venues completely?
Yeah, they're for sure two different entities. Mm-hmm. With the support of the PBR, our vision is to really be a cohesive brand with PBR to continue to celebrate and tell the stories of the female athletes that are on tour. We work with producers across the country from California. We're actually starting to kind of dabble into New York, and there's a barrel racing association that we're going to work with here in this next kind of quarter of the year. Really just open up our arms and our umbrella to across the country and to have that inclusive environment for all female rodeo athletes. We are one of the only organizations that classifies their ladies, the ladies in their athletic ability. So what that does, it allows us to have not only the elite cowgirls that are competing and doing this for a living, but the ladies that are a little bit more non-traditional moms, you know, have that full-time job, don't do, you know, these events as their, you know, full compensation to how they survive. And then the ladies that are beginning their career or at the end of their career. So really this cohesive brand and an inclusive environment for all female rodeo athletes.
The two products merge often in terms of where we hold events and how we cooperate. It's an independent business from the ground up with a very singular focus. But when you get to the world finals at the PBR, you're going to see the ladies at the PWR world finals as well.
I want to ask you guys to do a little bit of Rodeo 101. Talk us through what the events are. And if so, how do they vary from the men's side to the women's side, if at all?
So with the traditional women's events that we do have is the barrel racing, which you'll see at a lot of traditional rodeos across the country, which is a lady and a horse, and they go around a cloverleaf pattern. We do have the breakaway roping, where a cowgirl ropes a single calf around the neck and the rope breaks away. We do have team roping, which there's a header and a heeler, and they stop the steer for a time. New to Premier Women's Rodeo is we've had a goat tying showcase, which is a traditional event that they've done junior rodeos all through high school and college rodeos. And then generally it's done after the collegiate level. And we really wanted to bring that back. And then new to 2026 is we will have a women's bull riding, thank you to the PBR, and a women's ranch bronc riding showcase at our finals. So we'll have the beast of the bulls and these beauties of these cowgirls coming together at our finals in May at Cowtown Coliseum.
And historically, you know, rodeo's been around for a couple hundred years. It's probably America's first true sport. And it's seven disciplines. Six of those disciplines are men specifically that compete in bareback, saddle bronc, bull riding, team roping, calf roping, steer wrestling. And the women only had one event at a traditional rodeo, which is the barrel racing. And breakaway roping, as Lindsay described it, has really grown among the female ranks. My daughter's also a college breakaway roper. So women that are competing in rodeo have really taken to breakaway, and it was being underserved by traditional rodeo. So when you look at the PWR, it's expanding the number of disciplines that women can compete in rodeo, which doesn't make it different than rodeo. It's just women have never really had the opportunity to compete in those disciplines.
Not only has the women's side been underserved as far as exposure and opportunities, but also a lot of the women who were competing were, I guess, quite frankly, underpaid. And what
I would say,
bringing
so
this platform. And so, yeah, just talk about how now these athletes, you know, will be able to benefit by this, really this integration of the two properties.
Yeah, I'll let Lindsay dive into the details. But, you know, when we saw it as an opportunity to grow a business around it, you know, it's not a nonprofit and it's not a philanthropic venture for us. It's building a business around women's rodeo. But we started investing in it. And since 2020, we paid out nearly $4.5 million to female athletes, which is substantially more than they were earning as just barrel racers. We put the first women's rodeo ever on CBS on national television. It debuted and drew 2.4 million viewers. So we knew that there is definitely an audience for this business. In 2025, I think payouts ended up about $1.25 million, making it the richest women's rodeo competition in the world in history. But Lindsay can dive into a few more of the mechanics of how this pays women to be professional athletes, or as she said, dabble in it.
Yeah, with that, we do have over $800,000 that is added to our finals alone. That doesn't include to the other events that we have throughout the country that we partner with in order to increase those payouts. With our partnerships with like Million Dollar Breakaway, we paid out a challenger showcase to those ladies, and really just opening up those doors for lady athletes that can't make this their true traditional because there wasn't the opportunity. We pay out $60,000 to our champion of our final event on May 15th. And that is one of the largest purses in the country for a single event, a single one run. You say in the breakaway, it's a 1.8 second run. They rope this calf and they can win over $60,000 in that 1.8 seconds. So really just making sure that these ladies are treated as athletes, the same as any other entity within our organization, the same as the PBR celebrates the bull riders. They are equally celebrating the women. This is the largest all-female rodeo in the world. Like Sean said, with 1.25 million, we're proclamated by Mayor Maggie Parker in Fort Worth, Texas as the week of women's rodeo. So that is what PBR and TKO have done with the PWR to make sure that women are celebrated and have those opportunities within the sport. And that is exactly what the PWR championship is going to do when we are, you know, in Fort Worth in May, in coinciding with the PBR world title.
What kind of interest have you seen from sponsorship partners, media partners? What's the business side look like at this, I guess, relatively early juncture, but you know, you've been out there enough and gosh, you're paying out a lot. So, you know, this sounds like good business. What are you seeing from the, you know, from the companies and brands that may partner with you?
Honestly, it's a little early to answer those questions. We have done this. We didn't expect a media package for the first couple of years of this. It's brand new. We've got to develop the product, but we're actively pitching now. We have three partners at the table, and we're going to pick one of those for a media partner. And once that media lands, that's what really drives the sponsorship business. So we've had a little bit of success, but it's been mostly event-based partnership opportunities. And now our focus is really taking PWR, consolidating the brand, the schedule. And, you know, as we've done with every other TKO property, I think you're going to see growth on steroids from the sponsorship side of the business once we announce our media plan.
Yeah. And Sean, you brought up media plan, and there was a milestone agreement when it came to a few of your sister companies with Paramount, right? With the UFC and WWE.
PBR. PBR has two primary series that we focus on from a broadcast media rights perspective. And it's the traditional individual bull riding that we've been doing for 35 years. Mm-hmm. That's man against man and man, you know, man against beast first, but then man against man. And we launched a team series 5 years ago that has been hugely successful and arguably one of the most successful professional team launches in recent memory. And we have 10 teams that are out there competing. So we have two primary media packages. The individual bull riding is currently on Paramount Plus. And then we have the team series and its cable packages on CW. But we have a longstanding relationship with CBS, and we have 25 network broadcasts on CBS annually that are a mix really of teams and the individual competition. So it's a very robust TV package, and it obviously drives significant value from a sponsorship perspective. And, you know, we're going to have an excellent media package for PWR, and we're going to start really focusing in on not just covering the competition, but telling the story of these ladies that compete. I think that's critically important because nobody's ever really seen a women's rodeo event on TV except for the 1 hour we put on.
Right.
It's an exciting time because we've done a lot of legwork to get to this point. The announcement that we're talking about today is the brand that we've consolidated now and Premier Women's Rodeo and Power, PWR, Power of the Women. So we're pretty excited. And all of the traditional businesses or business lines that are associated with sports, we're tackling one at a time right now.
I wanted to ask you more about that, Sean and Lindsay, the importance of athletes developing their individual brands, connecting with an audience. So let's take it a couple of ways. Talk about how the league helps athletes do that, and what kind of success have you seen on the men's and women's side with athletes building a large following, for example, and really connecting with an audience will show up for them. Where are we at on that, you know, on that trajectory?
Speaking from the PBR side, you know, of the equation, we've been doing this a long time. And through our media partnerships and, you know, a lot of shoulder programming, whether it's Fearless on Netflix or The Ride on Amazon Prime, you know, we've done a lot of the traditional shoulder programming that is really more storytelling about the athletes, the competition platform. That's really helped us grow a base. We've got a great group of young talent that is getting a lot of national, international exposure. Right now, I think if you Google PBR and news, you're going to find 100 different stories coming out of Madison Square Garden this week.
I was just reading and watching a lot of those. Yeah, people should do that.
That's something that we have to do with women's, with PWR, because there's only 15 female barrel racers that make it to the National Finals Rodeo once a year in Las Vegas. And they do a decent job of at least getting that story out there of who made it and how they got there. That's what we plan to do with the media, is really build storytelling around the female athletes and the journey that they have to go through to either aspire to be a professional or to be a professional. These horses cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, and the trailers are hundreds of thousands of dollars. And we all know what diesel costs these days. So, you know, it's not a cheap sport for these ladies to break into. And so telling the stories is critical, and that's something we're going to do pretty heavily in media and through not only the competition broadcast, but through other avenues.
When it comes to them individually, they have never had an organization like the PWR to support them through this journey. And that is really what we're passionate about, is to continue to help the cowgirls and push them to the end of the story that makes them profitable. And that's what PBR has done with bull riding. And that's exactly what they'll continue to do with the cowgirls in the industry.
Yeah, Lindsay, I was saying there's got to be so many great stories because, you know, until this league was really formed, this was a pure vocation for these women, right? Which means passion and dedication. Who is that typical rider? And, you know, where are they coming from? What's a little bit of the background? Just to kind of tease what that personality is all about.
I mean, to be 100% honest with you, the best part about PWR is we do have all avenues of female rodeo athletes. We have the elite, the Jackie Crawfords, who is a mother of two, who has almost crush the glass ceiling for women in the industry, trying to compete against the men in the team roping competition and being a world champion and being a champion of PWR and holding that $60,000 check, all the way to women like Bella Ayers, who's an aspiring collegiate athlete who's in the lowest classification that we have, who's trying to gain her recognition across the board to the top of the elite and in the top of the competition. Myself, I was a competitor for the first 2 years of our organization. I was a 15-year college rodeo coach. I was one of two in the industry for the entire collegiate, you know, organization that was a head coach when I started, you know, 15 years ago, building a rodeo program in the collegiate level and still trying to compete myself professionally while juggling motherhood and baseball games and basketball games and continuing to, you know, to really want to be competitive in our industry. So there's so many stories like mine, like Bella's, like Jackie's, all throughout the entire, you know, gamut of the athletes that we do have. So to narrow it down to one is really hard because we do have all levels of athletes. Yeah. We have a woman who was a Miss Rodeo America who's 70 years old, who's coming back to competition in the breakaway roping because we do have that classification for her, the same as golf, that allows her to compete at her level and have an avenue for it because she didn't, you know, the bug is never gone. It's, right. You know, just like any sport, once you get that bug, you never want to let it go. And rodeo is exactly the same way.
Bella's my daughter, by the way, so I appreciate Lindsay giving her a plug because she needs all the help she can get being successful and having me not have to pay for it. So
love it. All right, well, let's get into that. Lindsay, how did you catch the rodeo bug? And Sean, I'm going to throw the same question to you.
I was born into the rodeo business. I say I'm a rodeo by genetic default. My grandfather, he was a rodeo stock contractor and a producer, and he produced rodeos for over 75 years. So I was born into the business, made my way through the ranks of junior rodeo, high school rodeo, collegiate. I went to college at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo on a rodeo scholarship, rodeoed all through college. And then my first job out of college was actually with the PBR. So I live, eat, breathe, sleep rodeo. And I want to continue to grow this sport for women and leave my impact of making it to where ladies like myself never had to stop competing because there was an opportunity. And that is exactly what the PWR wants to do, is to be that opportunity. So they never have to know what I felt when I worked my entire, you know, athletic career from, you know, 13 years old all the way through college at 21. And then it was over because they didn't have an opportunity for me. I never want women to have that feeling again, like I did. And that's where my passion behind the brand comes from.
I'm going to jump in on this one real quick. Sean, I am going to come back to you for your origin story. And I want to talk to you about Bella too. But Lindsay, you jumped to a point that I know John and I both want to get into with you. We have, here on Skin in the Game, talked with hockey players who are women in particular, but also basketball, baseball. I could go straight down the list of sports.
And now flag football.
And
right,
flag
Jim?
Football. Yeah, now flag football, the same thing is true until there's a professional mm-hmm. league. Young women who have devoted everything they've got to their sport, they love the sport, and the most they could hope for was the chance to play or perform that sport in college or possibly the Olympics, possibly, but not always. And it sounds like roughly the same thing was true in rodeo. So is this really the first opportunity for young women to look beyond college and say, you know what, I could make a part-time or even a full-time living in this sport and actually feel like they have a chance to chase after it?
It's not the first. I will say that there is an organization that's been around for a long time, but this is the first organization that has 100% been behind the cowgirls to make it better for them. I will say that we will fight for equality within the sport and to make sure that the ladies are paid equally across all disciplines. And it is most definitely the first to look at them as professional athletes who are more than just a sideshow to the event. We want the ladies to know that they are definitely part. If you look at the evolution of rodeo, it's the same as traditional sports where we start them at youth, then we go to high school and we go to collegiate levels. And then when it came to professionals, it completely fell off the board. And that is why, you know, Sean says that the women were underserved. Our passion is behind continuing, like you said, for us to be that avenue for ladies to know that they have a chance to make a lot of money. If I tell you that you can win a check for $60,000 in one going of whatever your sport is, I feel like that would be a pretty good reason for me to buy into it and want to look into it. So it doesn't matter if it's with the Bill Pickett Rodeo Association, with the International Rodeo Association, with the Indian National Rodeo Association, with college and high school levels. We want to be that spot where everybody says that's where we want to aspire to be. And so we know that we have an equal opportunity at that money.
Sean, let me come to you. Same question. How did you get involved in the sport? And I want to ask you how your daughter Bella did as well. And I suspect Dad might have something to do with it, but I'm sure it took more than just
actually
growing up around
it.
Okay, no, well, there you go.
Well, I'm going to be brief with my story. I grew up on the back of a horse, graduated college, went into the music business for 10 years, then the computer game business, made a bull riding computer game and met the guys that started the PBR. And that looked like a lot more fun. And so I joined up 26 years ago.
Wow.
But their origin story is really, I think, more telling to the passion that we have for, you know, helping ladies in the sport. PBR was started by 20 bull riders that invested $1,000 a piece to break bull riding away from rodeo. And they broke away because they weren't making enough money. They were making the same amount as a calf roper and others. And they were literally putting their lives on the line every time they got on the back of a bull. And bull riding arguably was the reason most people went to the rodeo was to stick around for the bull riding at the end. And those 20 guys parlayed that into what we have today, which is, you know, a sport that is now in the same company as UFC and WWE. But that entrepreneurialism, that drive, and that belief of creating a product and an experience for fans and contestants that features and world-class competitors getting paid what they deserve has now turned into a place where the bull riders in the sport are earning millions of dollars. And they can retire from that sport and go on and use that to build the next chapter of their lives, because most bull riders are done by the time they're 30 to 35. For women in the sport, it's the same thing. We've got a long way to go. We're very proud that we're going to be able to pay $60,000 to a woman for a, you know, sub 2 second run, but that should be $600,000. And when we get it to those levels, then those ladies can look at it as a profession and not have to have a day job. That's not going to be for everybody. It's not going to be for the younger set that are part-timers, and it's not going to be for the folks that are out of their prime. It's going to be for the best of the best of the best. But my daughter, this is my second marriage, and she was already a horse nut when I married her mother. And so she got the absolute lottery ticket into the Western lifestyle, because she had no idea, no path, no. And she's certainly an inspiration for helping these young ladies understand this path. She wouldn't have kept up with it. There's just no way that she could have kept up with it if she hadn't married into a Western lifestyle family. The day that she starts earning the kind of money we want to pay to the ladies is the day she's got to start paying me back.
Well, you know, not to use the term of our show or the title of our show, but, you know, sounds like you both have skin in the game there, huh?
We both have skin in the game.
Absolutely.
You brought up international, and, you know, we talked to a lot of other commissioners from other leagues, be it the NFL, the NHL, obviously the NBA. You know, they're growing their sport internationally. Where is PBR and where is PWR on potentially growing beyond the boundaries of North America?
Well, PBR currently runs tours in Australia, Brazil, Canada, and the United States. We have over 220 events around the world, some sanctioned events in Mexico. But those countries are the ones that have the other athlete we need in the sport, which is a bucking bull. And we've seen tremendous growth in those territories. Our field of competitors is represented by the best of the best from all those countries. Brazil and the U.S. certainly dominate, but there's 19 Brazil riders out of the top 40 right now.
Wow.
So we've seen a lot of international growth. PWR has got, there's challenges with running bull riding and rodeo on an international level, and it's the animals that either the horses you need or the bulls you need for your athletes to compete on, and getting them from one country to the next is difficult. I think PWR, we will eventually start offering opportunities in Canada, certainly Australia and Brazil are certainly on the horizon.
Yeah, absolutely. We do have some ladies right now who are members, classified ladies within our organization that are from Canada and Australia. You know, we're welcoming to any lady that wants to be part of the PWR, and we're very happy to expand our wings. But for sure, Canada and Australia.
Let me ask you about the bucking bulls. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, the animals you use are specifically American bucking bulls. There's genetics in these animals that make them, and I appreciate you call them athletes, like they are part of the athletic performance in this sport, right?
So yeah.
Let me ask you, I did some reading on your website about this. I found it interesting, but rather than me try to recreate it, tell our audience a little bit about the American bucking bulls and what you do to keep them safe and how they're different from what people might imagine.
Yeah, well, a bull doesn't just buck. You can't get a 1,500 to 2,000 pound animal to do anything that they don't want to do, no matter what you do. So there are a lot of misperceptions about bull riding and the animal athletes in our sport. And people think that they're tortured into bucking and kicking and spinning and doing what they do. It's very violent. So at one level, I can kind of understand somebody tuning in for the first time and going, what did you do to make that happen? But the reality is that it's all in their DNA. They've been bred over 100 years to be bucking bulls, and they're very athletic. They would be terrible to eat. They'd make the worst steak ever, but because they're just one muscle mass, but they're very well cared for. These animals are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. You don't mistreat something that's worth that much, and you don't mistreat any animal in our world. So I'd say that we're among the world's foremost animal activists out there, because the care and the rules and the effect and the way that these animals are treated, it's anybody that's ever pulled back the covers or taken the time to truly understand the facts and the truth understands that these animals are better cared for than some people's pets. Our stock contractors feed their animals in the morning before they feed themselves. There are these misconceptions, and I'll tackle one head on. Nobody has ever tied up the testicles of a bull to make him buck. With, you know, the flank straps, a soft cotton rope that's tied around the waist, about where our belts sit. And it's no tighter than the belt. And it's a, just a training device that teaches them how to kick when they're young. And it becomes a part of the go signal later in life. And animal activists will twist those facts and try and tell people that we're abusive. When half of the score for a bull ride is attributed to the bull for how hard they buck and how difficult they are to ride, you want the bull that comes out and does the best job. PBR offers that. They're the arguably the best animal athletes in the world.
How can people get started in the sport? And is there a geographical differentiation to that?
On the bull riding side, you know, one of our world champions is from Pfaffard, New York, upstate New York. And we've had a three-time world champion, Jose Vitor Leme from Brazil, who was a soccer player and hadn't ridden bulls until he was 18 years old and realized he wasn't going to make it as a soccer player, and was smart enough to understand how much money we pay out to bull riders. And he just happened to be an exceptional athlete and has excelled at bull riding. And these days, it's about just kind of go to our website, pbr.com, go under how to be a bull rider, and we will put you in touch with the people that will help you understand that the, you know, there isn't this massive hurdle to jump over in order to start experimenting to see if you are capable of being a professional bull rider. What I would say is, if you scare easily and you don't have a pain tolerance, then don't be a bull rider and don't even try to be a bull rider. But in bull riding, you know, we're really breaking down those walls. We need more bull riders. We want more bull riders. There's nothing that prevents anybody other than turning 18 years old that prevents them from being a professional bull rider. Man, woman, any race, doesn't matter. You're 18, come get a card.
You might hear from some people now. So Lindsay, on the rodeo side, how can people get involved?
Absolutely. On the women's side, you know, there's clinicians across the country that we work with at Premier Women's Rodeo. But like Sean said, we legitimately have coast to coast from California to New York that organizations that we work with. And that's pretty much all 50 states, and we can get somebody in touch. But if you have the drive and the passion to want to be a cowgirl and to want to be a barrel racer, or breakaway roper, goat tire, team roper, a women's bull rider, ranch bronc riding, we have the avenues for it. Just reach out to us and we can make sure that we get you to the space that you need to be in. If you're in the beginning and you need a clinician, or if you're, you know, looking for an event to go get qualified, I mean, there's avenues are endless. It's really open to everyone, and it's all over. Like I said, you know, everyone's about two generations removed from the agriculture industry. So just reach out to womensrodeochampionship.com and we can get you to where you need to be. But on all social platforms, Premier Women's Rodeo, and we can get you rocking and rolling and get you to the clinician that you need to for the discipline that you like. And it just takes a little bit of money to get you a horse. It doesn't have to be the best horse, and then kind of do it that way.
Bull riding, you don't need a horse. So if you don't want to buy a horse, come be a bull rider.
Yeah, so, there's a little capital investment with the horse situation on the women's side.
That is fair. Okay, we're going to wrap in just a moment. So I'll just a quick one. So 18 or older to be a bull rider. Lindsay, how young do you see people start rodeo?
as a parent, my son started riding a horse by himself when he was 2 years old. At Premier Women's Rodeo, you do have to be 13 years of age or older. But when you're starting, you can start children as young as however old and, you know, kind of gutsy they are when it comes to their relationship with the horse. Safety is obviously a huge priority as a parent, and you want to make sure, you know, you have all the precautions with a safe horse, helmets, all of those things. But really, you can start as young as you feel comfortable with your child. I know that it just kind of depends on your personal preference and how accustomed you are to the animals that you're dealing with.
I got bucked off my first horse at six, and that's when I decided I did not want to be a bull rider. So,
but then you got right into the computer gaming side of the bull riding. So much safer behind the laptop.
John, a huge difference between making a computer game and running a bull riding organization and getting on the back of one of those bulls.
Yeah, for me, it ends on those mechanical bulls you see at county fairs, and
I don't even like those.
I don't either. I don't either. That's why. That's why I'm sitting behind a microphone right now.
Well, Sean and Lindsay, if for our avid listeners of Skin in the Game, I've been challenging Tim for months now to get on a pair of skis or a snowboard. So he now has an out here. If he gets on the bull,
that will
be in lieu of the ski.
I can accommodate that.
Absolutely.
I might have to come visit you guys in Pittsburgh. I mean, this will be a little above my pay grade, but I might have to come see you guys in Pittsburgh.
Come on out.
We'll chat.
Last year was our first year in Pittsburgh, and it's just a complete sellout. But, you know, so we're not really looking for a marketing angle. But if you're going to come and get on a bull, we'll let the entire world know that that's going to happen. So,
John, I have maybe you've raised the stakes, but the stakes have elevated. Well, listen, Sean and Lindsay, we appreciate you guys so much coming on. This has been Sean Gleason, CEO and Commissioner of the Professional Bull Riders, and Lindsay Rosser-Sumter, the Commissioner of Premier Women's Rodeo. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you so much.
Keep up the great work. Thanks, guys.
John and I will be back with some final thoughts right after this.
Support for BTPM comes from our members and from Holiday Valley. Holiday Valley was voted the number 4 resort in the East by Ski Magazine readers. More snowmaking, more lifts, more ways to play. Holiday Valley is a mix of exciting terrain on an independent mountain that brings out your best. From the first chair to the last run, Holiday Valley is what winter was made for. Holiday Valley, your winter done right. More information at holidayvalley.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Skin in the Game. John, when we started this program, I don't know if I would have guessed we'd be talking professional bull riding and rodeo. And I got to tell you, I am incredibly glad we did. That was a fun conversation.
Tim, did you ever think we'd be talking professional wiffle ball or any of the other crazy sports that we've touched on?
No, we did. We did talk professional wiffle ball quite recently. And I'm still getting my head around the fact that it exists. I love that it does.
Yeah. And I can tell you from, you know, working in the arena days, I mean, you know, they are filling up buildings across the country. Their TV ratings rival that of the National Hockey League. Rodeo is a big deal. You know, we may not know it as much in, you know, where we're based here in Western New York, but man, they're filling up buildings across North America.
Something I think is a bit of a misconception, and I'll put this one on me, is like I've been to rodeo. I've written about rodeo, but it's been more at the county fair type of level. Like the rodeos come into town and there will be, you know, 500 people in the stands, which is a great crowd and a passionate crowd. And it's a really impressive athletic skill. And it's not something that a lot of us necessarily think of as being a sport that would do exactly what you just said and what, you know, what Sean was telling us, selling out Madison Square Garden and having TV ratings at that level. So the way this came about, this episode, is as a journalist, you get pitched stories. And I got a press release from PBR talking about PWR, Premier Women's Rodeo, that, you know, the professional bull riders were starting this rodeo league for women that was going to both open it up to riders at multiple levels and riders mm-hmm. of multiple levels of professional commitment to the sport. We could be full-time, you could be part-time. They want to even the field on this. That really got my right. interest.
And they also
right?
want to make money. They also want to make money.
Well, that's exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, I know. It's not, and I appreciate, I'll tell you what, Sean and Lindsay too. I mean, Sean hit multiple points head on. One of them was right. this doesn't exist as a charity. We're doing this to build a business, and there's an incredible business to be built and exactly. careers to be built around women's right. rodeo. I'll tell you, it's not surprising at all. It's just, but I think it was great to get into how they're going to do it.
Hey, and Tim, I was really glad that you brought up the whole animal athlete mm-hmm. side of this, meaning, you know, how they take care of the animals. Because I know there's not everyone's a fan of, you know, sports that integrate, you know, animals into them. And, you know, there's obviously some perceptions out there. And I think that Sean did a really nice job, as did Lindsay, on addressing that issue straight on, because these bulls and these horses are just as important to the competition as the people are.
And if people want to know more about this, I mean, there's a lot of ways that, you know, you can research this, but do go to the website and you'll get a lot of information on the bulls, you know, which is, as Sean described, have been bred over the course of 100 years, you know, for this purpose. You'll read about the animal safety. There's videos out there on this. So, and you can go look mm-hmm. it outside. You know, there's obviously plenty of criticism of that. All valid. It's something you can check out. We didn't dig too deep into it here, but it was good to acknowledge it. Again, I appreciate them talking about it straight on here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. It's, yeah. It wasn't the elephant in the room. It was the bull in the room, right? And
that might have been going through my head when we were let's talk about the fill in the blank in the room.
You know, I also appreciated Sean's reaction to my question about, you know, how much does Yellowstone how much wind does that, you know, behind the sails of rodeo? And he was quick to correct me that, you know, they've been around and filling up buildings for 19 years. But it did acknowledge that it doesn't hurt to have a popular program like Yellowstone promoting the quote-unquote Western lifestyle.
And I'm interested on that, you know, on that note too, to see how the individual athlete stories, particularly the women's stories, become more, you know, more yeah. public. And I'm saying that because, again, with PBR having been out there for decades now, the men, as Sean pointed out, there are, you know, men who are multimillionaires from doing this, and there's, you know, much like race car drivers, there's a lot of stories out there, a lot of branding already happening for women too, but it's you know, that we're more at the beginning point of this, right? So a great growth opportunity, you know, on the women's side of rodeo to develop yeah. the brand and audiences. And, you know, we say it often here, we've been at this show long enough where there's points we can follow up on. That's something I'd love to, you know, come back to this in a year and take a look at.
You bring up a great point, because it is about the personalities. And, you know, I'll use the NBA as an example. You know, their players are their own brands, and they drive a lot of interest and viewership in the sport. You take a look at what F1 did in the motorsport side. That whole Netflix series around F1, you know, gave people a peek behind the curtain, and the stories of these drivers really increased the popularity of F1 in this country. So you take a look at the same thing, and I think that's a great strategy, especially on the women's side of rodeo, because quite frankly, I think their stories will be more interesting. And I just think that's a great opportunity for them. And it does sound like they're going to develop that shoulder programming, you know, to build the personalities of their competitors.
Absolutely. John, I'll wrap by saying this. You've been trying to get me on skis or a snowboard, and people...
You got a choice, but you got to make a decision here quick.
That or riding a bull? Yeah, you know which one of those I'm going to go for. We'll let everyone else stay tuned.
Pretty soon we're going to throw skydiving into it, so you better pick your poison soon.
Surfing? Let's do some surfing.
All right.
We'll keep going with it. Thanks for joining me in this conversation. Safe travels back home. And for everybody out there, thank you for joining us for yet another episode of Skin in the Game. We'll see you next week.
This is a production of Buffalo Toronto Public Media. Thanks for listening.